Good morning, KDLG listeners, and Merry Christmas. Hopefully by now, gifts are open, some breakfast is cooking, maybe you're getting ready for church. If you're taking it easy this morning, relaxing with a cup of joe or hot chocolate, keep on listening. We're going to share with you some renditions of classic Christmas stories and carols, courtesy of some of Dillingham Elementary's best and brightest. Enjoy.
My name is Isaiah Gomez. I'm in first grade. The book's title that I'm reading is called Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad by Mercer Mayer. I wanted to make Christmas very special just for you, so I made a Christmas wreath. I wanted to decorate some Christmas cookies just for you, but I couldn't stop tasting them. I want to find a Christmas present just for you, but there were too many toys to look at. So I asked Santa to bring you a special present instead. I wanted to wrap the baby's present just for you, but the tape was too sticky. I picked out a Christmas tree just for you. On Christmas Eve, I tried to go right to sleep just for you, but I was too excited. I didn't want to make you get up too early on Christmas morning, so I brought my toys upstairs to show you. Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad. The end.
I'm Bella Kupchaik, and I'm in first grade, Mr. Bishop's class. I'm going to be reading 10 Trim the Treers. 10 little neighbors about to trim their tree. I'll dress for the occasion. Turn the page and see. One shiny golden star that is at the very tip top. Two straight of flashing lights that just won't stop. Three little angels with halos and with wings. Four Santa elves making toys that he brings. Five swifty reindeers, they know how to fly. Six lazy snowflakes that fall from the sky. Seven jolly men all made of snow. Eight candy canes, no eating them though. Nine menorah candles to mark the gifts of light. 10 pretty presents to make our holidays bright. 10 trim the treers. Now their job is done. It's time to serenade their pets and everyone. The end.
Hi, my name is Brooklyn, and I'm in first grade. And I'm going to read Santa's Christmas Train. All aboard, clickety-clack, Santa's train is on the track. Toot, 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 the whistle blows. Climb aboard and off it goes. Up, 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 and down, 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 through the tunnel, past our town. Seeing sights along our way to see Santa on his sleigh. Special snacks for us tonight. Minty stripes of red and white. Chocolate milk and cookies too. Tasty treats for me and you. Jingle bells, we hear them ring. Christmas carols we all sing. Slowing down, we've come so far. Santa's village, here we are. Red and green are everywhere, bells of silver here and there. Twinkling lights fill up the night, decorations shine so bright. Mrs. Claus is fun to see, lighting up the Christmas tree. Helpful elves, we see them too, busy doing what elves do. Ho, 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 and Santa's here, laughing, waving as we cheer. Santa's sack is stuffed with toys, tied with bows for girls and boys. Santa says, this one's for you. Christmas Day is your friend one, some too. Strike a pose and click, click, click. Here's our photo with Saint Nick. We had fun, but now we know to the station we must go. Up, 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 and down, 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 through the tunnel to our town. Back at last, we wave goodbye underneath a star-filled sky. Silent night, it's time to rest. We like Santa's train the best. The end.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you'd even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, yippee! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
My name's Ivana Kida.
My name is Chase Huffman. And the book that we're reading is Runaway Mittens. Pika's grandmother knit him a pair of bright red mittens. No cold can sneak through the mittens. Grandmother knits, her stitches are so small and tight and smooth. Pika thinks they are the finest mittens he has ever had.
But those mittens are always getting lost. Have you seen my mittens? Pika says. Have you mittens run away again? Etta asks him, how is it that my little brother mittens won't stay in his pocket where they belong?
Edna is always teasing Pika, but she finds the mittens on a shelf where they were put to dry. Mittens, Pika says, please stop running away.
At school the next day, the teacher says no one could go outside for recess without caps and mittens. It's too cold and snowy, he says.
Have you seen my mitten? Pika asks everyone. George helps him look. At last, Pika spies his mittens where they were all the time, getting warm and dry. Come on, George, calls Pika. Let's go, or recess will be over.
One day, there is a big hole in Pika's mitten. He takes it to grandmother. I should have made sealskin mittens for my grandson, she said, with a fur turned inside your fingers would never feel cold. Oh, Pika says, quickly, but these mittens are just right for playing in the snow.
Grandmother smiles at Pika. You are right. I will get some red yarn and sew up the hole. And when you are old enough to hunt seals and walrus, my grandson, then I will make you some fine sealskin mittens. Now red wool ones are just right.
Pika's family is going ice fishing this Saturday morning. Everyone's is ready to go except Pika. Oh, mittens, he says, why do you always disappear just when I need you?
Pika looks everywhere. The mittens are not on the shelf. They are not behind the stove. They are not under the couch.
What is that bit of red sticking out of your pocket? Asked his mother. You need special glasses made just for finding runaway mittens. Etta teases him. What I need, Pika answers, are mittens that never run away.
Finally, they are ready to fish. A few days later, a big storm comes howling out of the north. The snow swirls in all directions, up, down, around, and about.
Oh. Pika and Etta can barely see their way home from school.
Father has brought Pin into the house and fixed her a box. The stove, it is too cold for her to have her pups outside.
There will be no school until the storm blows over.
The sky is bright blue again. It is so cold and still outside. Whatever sparkles and crackles, Pika and Edna are getting ready for school.
But where are Pika's mittens? Last night they were safe in his pocket. Now they are nowhere to be found. Not on the shelf, not behind the stove, not in his boots.
Anisha, Pika shouts, come and see. Pin had her pups last night.
Etta looks into the box. 9 little sled dogs with white paws and black noses. She says, but what is the red thing under the puppy?
My mitten, Pika shouts. This time you stay right where you are and help Pin keep her pups warm. Pika looks at the wriggling, screaming puppies. It's all right, Pin, he says softly. I'll keep my hands in my pockets. Spring will soon be here.
The end.
The end.
My name's Aurora Plant, and I'm going to be reading How Santa Got His Job. When Santa Claus was a young man, he went out looking for a job. Santa wanted no part of desks or offices. He liked to stay on the move. His first job was cleaning chimneys. Santa was sure-footed on even the steepest roofs, and he loved twisting through the tight spaces. But there was a problem. Santa was so neat that he never got covered in soot or made a mess in the fireplace, so nobody believed him when he said he was done. Where's the proof? Said some. You're not even dirty, said others. This led to a lot of arguments. Santa worked for the post office next, where everyone could see that he was doing his job. Santa's favorite part was bringing packages to people all over town. Waiting in traffic was frustrating, though. It's silly to waste all this time, he decided. To speed things up, he started making deliveries in the middle of the night. But there was a problem. No one was glad to see him at that hour. The postmaster got so many complaining letters that Santa had to leave. Since Santa had discovered he enjoyed staying up late, he tried cooking at an all-night diner. It felt good to fill orders for customers. Sometimes Santa even surprised people with extra helpings. Oh, I couldn't eat another bite, many of them insisted. Well, maybe just one. But there was a problem. Every night Santa tasted and sampled and tasted some more before he brought anything out of the kitchen. He gained a lot of weight. Hoping to get some exercise, Santa then found a spot at the zoo. He was very organized about the animals. "I know when they are sleeping," said Santa, "and I know when they are awake." Over time, he also learned whether they were behaving themselves or not. But there is a problem. Santa became too close friends with the reindeer, and all the other animals got jealous. Sadly, the zookeeper had to let him go. By now, Santa was starting to get discouraged. He didn't even notice what the reindeer were doing behind him. The elves lived way out of town. They were toy makers, and their house was their workshop. Santa was amazed. "Children must love these toys," he said. The elves looked embarrassed. They have only made toys for their own pleasure. Selling them is too much trouble. "What if you give them away?" Santa asked. The elves hadn't thought of that. "I could deliver them for you," Santa offered. There were enough toys here for children all over the world. The elves smiled and hired him on the spot. The elves made Santa a special sack that was always big enough no matter how many toys were put in it. Then they built him a sleigh. The polar bears offered to pull it. They were very strong and whipped Santa across the snow, but there was a problem. It was the biggest one yet. To Santa's surprise, the problem could be solved. Santa and the reindeer practiced together every day. They made a few mistakes at first, but soon they learned to work as a team. And the darkest part of winter, when people need their spirits lifted the most, Santa got ready to go. As the elves said goodbye, they gave Santa an emergency kit. It held a compass, ski goggles, cough drops, and other things. Santa thanked them very much. All his jobs had taught him it was good to be prepared. Then Santa and his reindeer took off. That first night was a little hard because Santa was still learning about shortcuts and high winds, but at last he got the hang of it. Ever since then, the elves have made toys all year, and Santa has given them away in one night. He loves his job as much as ever, and he's gotten pretty good at it over the years. Still, he always keeps his emergency kit close by, because no job is perfect. The end.
The end. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kid. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kid. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring us a figgy pudding. Now bring us a figgy pudding. Now bring us a figgy pudding. And bring it out here. Good tidings we bring to you and your kid. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We love our Ficky Pudding. We love our Ficky Pudding. Now we love our Ficky Pudding. Now we love our Ficky Pudding. We'll bring some out here. Good tidings we bring to you and your kid. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Bird Reading Curious George. My name's Mason Davison. This is George. He lived with his friend, the man with the yellow hat. He was a good little monkey and always very curious. Today, George was visiting a Christmas tree farm. You can help me pick out the perfect tree for our home, his friend told him. Keep close to me while we look. George tries to be good, but sometimes monkeys forget. The Christmas tree farm had more trees than George has ever seen. He found a very nice one right away, but then another caught his eyes, and then one more, then another. George was curious how many Christmas trees could there be. George could not resist climbing the tallest tree to get a better view. He looked for the man with the yellow hat, but his friend was nowhere in sight. Two men tromped into the clearing. "There's our tree," one man told the other. The men cut down the tree and loaded it into a truck. Along with George, George held tightly on. He saw the man with the yellow hat as the truck drove away, but the truck was going too fast. George could not jump off. He was scared, but still a little curious. Soon the truck stopped in front of the hospital. George peeked out of the branches as the men carried his tree inside. The hospital was a busy place. George jumped out of the tree. There was lots here to see and do. He looked at some interesting pictures. He found a jacket and tried it on. He played on a trampoline. He even went for a ride on a speedy little cart. What fun. Next, George noticed a pile of gifts in the corner of the room. The gift looked pretty, but George was curious. Could he make them look even prettier? This red bow would look much better on the green box, and the name tags might look better, nicer on different packages too. A nurse arrived, and what did she see? A monkey, and he's making a big mess. A group of children crowded around the nurse. They were all patients at the hospital. Even though it was Christmas, the children were not smiling or looking happy. "Come along," the nurse said, picking George up. "I'd better get you out of here before you can ruin anything else." A girl with a cast stared at George's tree. Suddenly she giggled. "Look," she said, "it's my x-ray." A boy laughed. "And there's my balloon for my room." All the children started chattering and laughing as they looked at George's funny decorations. "Can't he stay for the party?" a boy asked. The nurse, "We don't mind about the gifts. It will be fun to sort them out. Please let him stay, please." The other children climbed in. When she saw how happy the children looked, the nurse looked happier too. "I suppose he can stay," she said, "if he promises to help fix the tree." George was happy to help. The children helped to some of the return George's decorations, while the others handed George the real ornaments. He clambered up and down, stringing lights and hanging tinsel. Being a monkey, he was good at that store of things. He was also good at making the children laugh. When the tree was finished, George helped open the gifts. He was having such a good time that he forgot he was lost, until the man with the yellow hat hurried into the room. "There you are, George," he cried. "I followed that truck all the way here." George was very happy to be returned with his friend. The nurse invited them both to stay for milk and cookies. "Ho, ho, ho, did someone mention milk and cookies?" a man in a red suit walked into the room. His belly jiggled. He was holding a beautiful golden star. George's eyes widened. It was Santa Claus.
Who would like to put the tree on top of
the tree? Santa asked.
George!
The children cried at once. Let George do it. George scurried up the tree one last time. Up he put the golden star in place carefully.
Merry Christmas, Curious George!
The Night Before Christmas by Clement Moore, illustrated by Tom Biapola and Trinity George. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care and hopes, and that Sir Nicholas soon will be there. The children were nestled and snugged in their beds. Bright visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I'm in my cap. He just settled our braids for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn through ours such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, torn open the shutter and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast and of the new fallen snow gave the luster of midday of up just below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer with a little old driver, so lively and quick. I knew in a moment that must be Sir Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and I whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet and Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As the dry leaves before, the wild hover came fly, when they meet with the obstacle, meet to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew. With the sled full of toys, and Sir Nicholas too, and them in a twinkle, he heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney is Sir Nicholas, came with a bow. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opened his back. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like rose, his nose like a cherry, his droll little mouth was drawn up like a bowl, and his beard of his chin was as white as the snow. Stump of his pipe he held tight with his teeth, and his smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed. Beautiful bowl of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him. In spite of myself. I wink of my eye in a twist of my head. Soon gave me a no. I heard nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and gave a nod. Up the chimney he rose. He swung to his sled, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But he heard him exclaim, he drove out of sight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all good night.
Hi, my name is Kaylin Savo, and I'm going to be reading A Pussycat's Christmas. It was Christmas, how could you tell? Was the snow falling? No. The little cat Pussycat knew that Christmas was coming. The ice tinkled when it broke on the frozen mud puddles. The cold air made her hair stand straight up in the air. And the air smelled just like it did last year. What did it smell like? Could she smell Christmas trees? Of course she could. And tangerines? And Christmas greens? And holly? And could she hear the crackle and slip of white tissue paper and red tissue paper? She certainly could. The tissue paper rustled, nuts cracked, and scissors cut. Brrr! There wasn't a flake of snow in the sky, but the sky was dark and low, and there was the dark smell of winter air before the snow. And then, click, the street lights clicked all over town. And as the heavens turned dark beyond the window, one by one the snowflakes began to fall out of the sky. How did little Pussycat know? She could hear the snow. She certainly could. And she ran right out into the snowstorm for if there was anything. And that little cat loved it was the cold, dry, fresh, white, wild, and feathery, powdery snow. She went pouncing around it, bouncing in joy, and she ate some of it. And she rolled in it, dug in it, and played with it. And then she stood up all white with snow, very still, for it was very quiet, very quiet. First there was no sound, and then there was some. For when everything is quiet, you can hear things far away. From the sky with a sound like steady whispering came the snow, that sound of snow. And then the wind rattled the black branches and rattled. It was time for Pussycat to go in the house. For little cats do not like the wind, they usually don't like the snow, but this little cat did. All the smells of the earth that she knew were frozen and buried in the white snow. The world was very quiet and very mysterious. Even footsteps were quiet. Pussycat did not go in right away, because through the wind and falling snow, she heard something. She stood very still and stretched her ears in darkness, and soon she heard it coming from far away, away up in the snowy road. Ding, 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 jingle, 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 ding. What was it? She heard it going by in the white falling snow. She saw it. She saw the sleigh going, jingling by. Then Pussycat meowed at her window pane and heard footsteps coming to let her in. They always let her in right away because they didn't want her to get cold and they liked to have her in the house. She walked right into the living room where she could smell the sharp, tangy smell of the Christmas tree and candles and nuts and raisins and apples and tangerines. But they shouldn't have let her stay in the living room where they were wrapping up packages and hanging things on the tree. And this is why. Pussycat pounced. She pounced on everything. She waited to pounce with shining eyes and switching tail. She waited with shining eyes for something to fall, to tinkle, to crash, and to break. She batted the Christmas tree balls with her paw, tore at the tissue paper, and pulled the bows off the packages. So they put her on the hall and closed the glass doors. Pussycat lied down and purred by the fire. She lifted her ears and she listened. There was a sound of cracking. Shh, shh, crackle. What was that? Was it the fire? Always there was the sound of snow hissing against the windowpane. There was a tiny tinkle pop as something fell from the Christmas tree and shivered into a million splinters of light. That was wonderful. The lights gleamed in Pussycat's eyes. Then, bang, bang, bang. What was that? Someone was hanging the Christmas stockings. Everyone came out and stepped over and around the little cat and put on coats and boots and mufflers and hats and laughed and shuffled about. They kissed each other under the mistletoe, then off they went to church. Suddenly, the quiet far off the night, Pussycat could hear, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. When everyone had gone, it was dark and quiet. The snow had stopped, and there was only the smell of the Christmas tree filling the house, and silence. Then softly at first, but then distinct in the night, she heard people walking from window to window, the dark carolers on the white snow. Through the still air, voices came to her listening ears. Over the silence of the frozen snow, in the silence of the moonlight, the silence of the night, in the silence of the bright stars high in the sky. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And as the little pussycat purred and purred by the fire, she heard in the distance the music fading far down the road. Then she pushed open the living room door with her paw, and there in the silent house was the Christmas tree. It sparkled and glistened with lights, gold, silver, and blue. The lights of the rubies and emeralds shining like no tree that any cat had ever seen in the woods. This to Pussycat was Christmas Eve. The end.
Hi, my name is Kaylin Savo, and my name is Chloe McDonald, and we are singing Children Go Where I Send Thee. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Children go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee one by one. Well, one was a little bitty baby, wrapped in the swaddling clothing, lying in the manger. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee two by two. Well, two was Paul and Silas, one was a little bitty baby, wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee three by three. Well, three was the three men riding, two was Paul and Silas, one was a little bitty baby, wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee four by four. Well, four was a four coming knocking at the door. Three was the three men riding, two was Paul and Silas, one was a little bitty baby, wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee five by five. Well, five was the gospel preachers, four was the four coming knocking at the door, three was the three men riding, two was Paul and Silas, one was a little bitty baby, wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I will send thee six by six. Well, six was a six that could not be fixed. Seven was a five was a five gospel preachers. Four was a four coming knocking at the door. Three was a three men riding. Two was a Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger, born in Bethlehem. Children, go, where send thee? How shall I send thee? I will send thee seven by seven. Well, seven was a seven that made it to heaven. Six was a six that couldn't be fixed. Five was the gospel preachers. Four was the four coming knocking at the door. Three was the three men riding. Two was Paul and Silas. One was the little bitty baby wrapped in the swaddling clothing, lying in the manger, born in Bethlehem. Children, go, where send thee? How shall I send thee? I will send thee eight by eight. Well, eight was the eight that stood at the gate. Seven was the seven that made it to heaven. Six was the six that couldn't be fixed. Five was the gospel preachers. Four was the four coming knocking at the door. Three was the three men riding. Two was Paul and Silas. One was the little bitty baby wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger, born in Bethlehem. Children, go, where send thee? How shall I send thee? I will send thee nine by nine. Well, nine was the nine that saw the sign. Eight was the eight that stood at the gate. Seven was seven that made it to heaven. Six was six that couldn't be fixed. Five was the gospel preachers. Four was the four coming knocking at the door. Three was the three men riding. Two was Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby,
ooh,
wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger, born in Bethlehem. Children, go, where send thee? How shall I send thee? I will send thee ten by ten. Well, ten was the Ten Commandments. Nine was the nine that saw the sign. Eight was the eight that stood at the gate. Seven was the seven that made it to heaven. Six was the six that couldn't be fixed. Five was the gospel preachers. Four was the four coming knocking at the door. Three was the three men riding. Two was Paul and Silas. One was the little bitty baby wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in the manger, born in Bethlehem.
Hello, my name is Chloe McDonald, and today I am reading The King Island Christmas by Gene Rogers. On King Island, the wind tossed the waves higher and higher as it often does in the middle of the Bering Sea. The sun shone brightly, but in the Eskimo village on this tiny rocky island, everyone was worried. For many months, the church has been dark and silent, awaiting the arrival of the new father to light the candles and celebrate Christmas. And now he was stranded on the North Star, the big freighter anchored in the angry sea. It was her very last trip around the winter ice before the winter ice closed in around King Island. The men of the village stood ready to take their biggest umiak, their walrus skin boat, out to the big ship to bring the new priest home. But the waves were so high, the boat would be swamped. The men could not go out on such a windy day. The villagers were crowded into the schoolhouse to wait together and see what could be done. They knew if they could not bring the priest ashore, he would have to go south with the North Star, and they would have to wait until the next year when the ice would be gone. Ulurana, the island chief, talked to the ship by radio. When he hung up, he said, "There is only one chance. The sea is calmer in the lee of the island. We men of King Island are strong. We can carry the umiak up the cliffs and over to the other side of the island, and the North Star can sail around and meet us." "Yes, yes," everyone agreed. We cannot let the father go south. We cannot let him go away, shouted Eeyore. We must get him ashore, Peter cried. Good, Ollarana said. We'll need 10 men to carry the umiak across the island. Suddenly, Peter cried, Let's all go. The strongest men can do the carrying, and we will all go to meet the father and bring him here. Eagerly, the men stepped forward and shouldered a big umiak. The whole village followed. Up the steep side of King Island, all 150 people climbed. The mother with her new baby, Eeyore and Peter, all the school children with their teachers. Everyone climbed. On the flat top of the island, the wind raged. As they rested for a moment, the villagers looked at one another anxiously. They could see the North Star rounding the island, but would it be calm enough for on the other side for the umiak to reach a big ship? Down the rocky shore, everyone hurried as fast as they could. Some of the men quickly climbed into the boat and started the motor. Gather up all the dry grass and driftwood you can find, called Eeyore. We'll build a fire. Soon a big fire was burning. Out of parka pockets came food, and the villagers gathered around as they waited to watch. Look, Yakuk shouted, the umiak is returning! Ollarana was smiling as the umiak drew up to the shore. Here's our new priest, he said. Welcome to King Island, Father Carol. Everyone smiled as they made ready for the return trip. Up they went over the flat top of the island, laughing with the wind in their faces. Down past the graveyard to the church where smoke was rising from the chimney. Some of the older men had hurried together to start the fire to welcome Father Carol. The Arctic ice and the days of long darkness came, but that did not worry anyone. On Christmas Eve, Father Carol put on his most splendid robes and lit the candles in the church. Out of the big box he had brought came more pants and jackets, apples and oranges, and a sack of candy for everyone in the village. The children whistled to the northern lights to set them dancing. There was singing and afterwards in the big feast. Christmas had come to King Island. The end. Thank you.
Pocket's Christmas Wish. And I'm reading it, Mary Kupchak. On Christmas morning, just outside the burrow, 5 rabbits met a snow angel. 4 rabbits hopped ahead to the skating pond, but Pocket, the littlest rabbit, stayed behind. He had questions to ask. Excuse me, Pocket said, can you tell me the meaning of Christmas? But the snow angel didn't answer. Pocket winkled his bunny nose. He twitched his bunny ears. He wiggled his bunny whiskers. The snow angel sparkled in the lemon light, but still didn't answer. A trail of footprints led away from the snow angel's skirt. It stretched as far as Pocket could see. I wish I knew the meaning of Christmas, thought Pocket. Maybe if I follow the footprints, I'll find it at the end. And off he hopped. The footprints wound around the edge of the skating pond. Pocket paused to watch his brothers and sisters swishing and spinning together on ice. In their bunny smiles, Pocket could see the love of his family. But the footprints didn't stop at the pond, so Pocket hopped on. Pocket followed the footprints to a holly bush. There, a little bird was trilling and chirping among the berries. As he listened to the merry music, Pocket could hear the joy of song. But the footprints zigged away from the brush, so Pocket hopped on. The footprints led to a clearing in the forest, where the air was thick, the scent of snow coming. As he sniffed the air, Pocket could smell the memory of winter past. But the footprints made a loop around the clearing and tiptoed out the other side. Pocket still wished he could find the meaning of Christmas, so he hopped on. Pocket followed the footprints to a fallen log. It started to snow. He caught a dancing flakes on his pink bunny tongue. They taste fresh like the promise of new snow. But the footprints didn't stop at the log. So Pocket hopped on. Up ahead, a pine tree grew tall and strong. Pocket sat under its branches to rest His tired bunny feet, the carpet of pine needles felt soft and comfort, like the comfort of home. He wished he could stay and rest well, but the footprints weren't resting, so Pocket hopped on. Pocket was cold. The wet snow coated his bunny nose and ears and clung to his bunny whiskers. Pocket was hungry, but he couldn't eat the grass that was tucked beneath the snow. For the winter, Pocket wondered how he was supposed to find the meaning of Christmas with a rumbly tummy and the icy whiskers. He plodded on down a hill and across the stream until he came to a small cottage with a dark red door. The footprints ended. Pocket peered through the cottage window. He saw three children gathered around the tree with twinkly lights. He heard their happy laughter and smelled the rosy smoke of their fire. He even tasted the faint flavor of cinnamon wafting out of the cracker. Around the window frame, the snow under Pocket's feet didn't feel so cold anymore. Then the dark red door opened. Just a sliver, a fat orange carrot appeared. Pocket hopped over to the carrot with his mouth watering. But as he started to nibble, the baby wood mouse scurried over from under the sled. The mouse looked cold. The mouse looked hungry. The mouse looked up at Pocket with his round mouse eyes. As he shared the carrot with the mouse, Pocket knew the gift of giving. At last, his wish had come true. He had found the meaning of Christmas. Pocket hopped home, his heart full of love, joy, memory, promise, and comfort. The gifts of Christmas season. When Pocket reached the skating pond, his brothers and sisters were just coming off the ice. As soon as they saw him, they shook their bunny tails and thumped their bunny feet. "Merry Christmas," said Pocket, as he chased them back to the burrow. And it was the end.
Hi, I'm Bailey Olson, and I'm reading Turkey Claws. Thanksgiving was over, and Turkey was safe. But then he overheard Farmer Jake and his wife, Anna, talking about what to have for Christmas dinner, and guess who was at the top of the list? "I do love a nice turkey dinner," said Anna. "Oh no," thought Turkey, "not again." But Turkey had an idea. The children had mailed their Christmas wishes to Santa Claus. Maybe Turkey could ask Santa for a Christmas wish, too, but a wish that he would not be eaten for Christmas dinner. But it was too late to mail his wish to Santa. He would have to go see Santa himself. Turkey arrived at Santa's village. "Excuse me," said Turkey, "where can I find Santa?" "No one sees Santa the day before Christmas," said an elf. "He's too busy making his list and checking it twice." "Oh, gobble, gobble," said Turkey. But looking around gave Turkey a new idea. What if he didn't look like a turkey? What if he looked like a Christmas tree? Surely a Christmas tree could go get to see Santa. His costume wasn't bad. In fact, Turkey looked like a Christmas tree, almost. "Ho, ho, hold it," cried an elf. "No turkeys in Santa's village. You have to go back to the farm." "How do you know it was me?" asked Turkey. "Trees don't have legs," said an elf. "Oh, gobble, gobble," groaned Turkey. Turkey looked around again. "I've got it," he thought. "Surely a reindeer could go see Santa." His costume wasn't bad. In fact, he looked like a reindeer, almost. Hold your hooves, cried an elf. No turkey allowed in Santa's village today. You have to go back to the farm. Oh, how did you tell it was me? Asked Turkey. Reindeer don't have wings, said an elf. Oh, gobble, gobble, moaned Turkey. I've got to see Santa. Turkey looked around for another idea. Candy was being loaded into Santa's sleigh. I've got it, he thought. Surely a candy cane could be allowed inside with Santa. His costume wasn't bad. In fact, Turkey looked like a candy cane, almost. Wait a merry minute, cried an elf. Turkeys are not candy. You have to go back to the farm. How could he tell it was me? Asked Turkey. Candy canes don't have beaks, said an elf. Oh, gobble, gobble, howled Turkey. I just have to get in to see Santa. Turkey looked around and around. He saw Mrs. Claus bringing a plate of cookies to the elf. Surely, surely, Mrs. Claus could get in to see Santa. His costume wasn't bad. In fact, Turkey looked like Mrs. Claus, almost. Turkey walked right up to Santa's house. An elf opened the door. Snow way, said the elf. No turkeys getting in here today. How do you recognize me? Wild turkey. Mrs. Claus don't have feathers, said an elf. Oh, gobble, gobble, Turkey sighed. I'm almost out of time. I never get to ask Santa for my wish. Sure, Turkey looked around desperately for one last idea. Then he saw it. His costume wasn't bad. In fact, it was his best one yet. Ding dong, an elf brought in the box. What is this? Asked Santa. A present for me. Out popped Turkey. Merry Christmas, he cried. Gobble, gobble. Ho, 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 ha, 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 laughed Santa. What are you doing here, Turkey? Turkey explained his Christmas wish. Santa smiled. I think I have just the right disguise for you. And he did. It was Turkey's best Christmas ever. Pizza on Earth. Love, Turkey.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. The star to light to the northwest, and to the northwest, and so they continue both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
This was the first Snow Elf, and who sang it was Marion and Bailey, Marion Kupchaik and Bailey Olson.